Why do you feel envious about other people? Because they have what you may want. They have the plasma TV, and you still have the big one, bulky one. They got their cars, and they seem like they're always having fun and excitement, and we get envious. It is time for us to apply this scripture that he must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus is everything or nothing.
Peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
Leadership is critical in the church. We need leaders who will prepare the way for the Lord. We need leaders who will consult us to repent and change our ways. We need leaders who will help us identify Christ when he comes in our midst. Unfortunately, though, we need leaders who will say, "He must be greater and I must become less." It's what John the Baptist knew about himself, and it's what Pastor Poncha will explore on today's program of On the Level, as we'll look at John chapter 3 and consider deference versus preference. That's what we'll have considered on today's program, coming up next on this edition of On the Level Radio.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Poncho.
Let's read. Verse 22. After these things, after Jesus and Nicodemus, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Anion near Salem, because there was much water there. And so we don't know where Anion and Salem is. It's a forgotten towns or cities, but it's near, obviously, a place where it says here that John was there because there was much water. If you're sprinkling somebody, why would you need a lot of water? Because even they were there in a foot of water, he can just reach and just sprinkle them, and that was it. The reason they were looking for deep water so they can submerge completely. And so we have two great men, one from heaven and one from earth, preaching and teaching and baptizing people. And then he makes a comment in verse 24, for John the Baptist, had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. The Jews were into the purification process. They would have to wash their hands a certain way, and they will go through a purification factor. When you go to Israel, we'll go to the walls of Jerusalem right before you enter the temple. You will see that you have this niches that will fit and accommodate a human body. They will be filled with water. And the worshiper, before he goes into the temple, will actually descend into this little crevice. And he will dip himself or herself in water. And once they were dipped in this water, they were able to walk into the temple. Ceremoniously, they had been cleansed. Ceremoniously, they have gone through what we call theologically an ablution. They have gone through a water cleansing. And so they were having this dispute, like which purification is better? Which one is the one that needs to be approved by? You're preaching over here and baptizing, but we have this man whom you commissioned 2 weeks ago last week, and more people are going over there. John, what do you have to say? Verse 26. So they came to John and they said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. Listen to the answer of John, so divine that it has to be applicable to our lives. John answered and said, a man. Now, ladies, you're not out of it. Here the word is anthropos. That's man or woman, a human being. A man can receive what? Nothing unless it has been given to him from where? From heaven. You see, we are told here that God had given everything to Jesus Christ, but he includes each and every one of us. He says, each and every one of you, whatever you possess, everything, your diploma, your home, your investments, your cars, your children, whatever you possess, God has given it to you. Everything. All good gifts come from above, the Bible says. We have spiritual gifts. You don't come to church and become a Christian and you say to yourself, I want the gift of prophecy. God says, no, I'm going to give you the gift of teaching. I don't want to teach. I want the sensational gifts. Do you know that every one of us as Christians have a gift? All of us. What is your gift? See, when you experience and you know your spiritual gift, at least you have a purpose in the community of the Church of Jesus Christ. What is yours? Listen, there we have 20 gifts mentioned in the Bible. I'll just go through them real quick. Like, some people have the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance. In other words, they're not going to come, and ladies, watch out for this, some of these guys. The Lord has just given you a prophetic utterance. He says that you're going to have cappuccino with me tonight. No, we're not talking about that, guys, okay? Or guys, even girls, can say, well, the Lord gave me a prophecy. No, be careful too. We're talking here about a special immediate message of God. We have the gift of being a pastor, to provide spiritual care and nourishment of a group of believers or congregation to the Word of God. We have the gift of teaching, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of exhortation. I like to hang around with people that have the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation is basically, it's the body of Christ. Certain members have the gift to minister words of comfort, edification, encouragement, and counsel to other members of the body in such a way that they feel helped and healed. When people say to you, after you tell them your sad story, what you're going through, and they say, well, sister, Romans 8:28, they do not have the gift of exhortation. They have the gift of dissertation. They desert you. Oh yeah, all things happen to love the Lord. Okay, I hope you eat. I hope everything goes well. No, people that have the gift of exhortation have this wonderful way to comfort and edify people. And then you have the gift of discerning of spirits. Not the gift of discerning, but the gift of discerning spirits. And then some people have the gift of giving. We have people in our congregation, they have the gift of giving. These kind of people, don't ever compliment them about their clothes, because they'll tell you, hey, where did you get those sandals? I don't know. Here, take them. Don't ask them. Don't compliment them. They'll give it to you. They'll give you whatever. Just take it. Oh, take it. We have people here that I'm not going to tell you, because then you're going to make friends with them. No, I'm not going to tell you. People have the gifts of helps, the gift of hospitality. We are known as a hospitable church. We have some people have the gift of mercy. Some people have the gift of missionary, evangelist, faith, leadership, administration, miracles, healings, tongues. Tongues is the only gift that does not edify the body of Christ. All the other spiritual gifts edify the body of Christ. Speaking in tongues only edifies the person that has the gift. And then you have the specific gift that is most valuable within the church. Paul's answer to this is clear and emphatic. The one gift all Christians should have is love. Love is the ultimate spiritual gift. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What is your spiritual gift? I don't know, but tonight, in your own quiet, solemn reflection tonight, as we worship tonight, or as we pray together, corporate prayer, as I'm praying, perhaps you can be praying, saying, Lord, I don't know what my gift is. Would you dispense what do I have? And when you have that gift, when you know you're not going to get, for example, if you don't have the gift of let's say, mercy. People don't have the gift of mercy. It basically is a genuine empathy and compassion for individuals. You know, I don't have the gift of mercy. I know that. I can be merciful, but it's not a gift. The people, they have the prison ministry. They have the gift of mercy. My attitude is, hey, you did the crime, do the time. That's my attitude. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. But the people who go to the prison ministry, they're willing to go through all the process in getting checked like an hour and a half, 2 hours to preach the gospel to people that are locked up. That's the gift of ministry. That's the gift of mercy. People have the gift of mercy when they go to convalescent hospitals. I got spit on at one of the convalescent hospitals. I went up to one. I went, what's your name?
John.
Hi, John. We just came to visit you. Whoa. You know what, John? Pow. He went down, man. No, he didn't. Get on that wheelchair, man. No, I did not do that. I just said, all right, John. Now that I got your DNA, good to meet you. And so someone else came. Now, John, don't spit. Okay? Don't spit. They have such gift. I don't have that gift. At any rate, what is your gift? So what is John going to say? He says, listen, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been seen before him. But I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears and rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He uses a cultural reflection in the motive and the purpose for a wedding was for joy. It was a joyful event, 6 to 7 days. What do? You dance, and then you eat, and they get their cup, and they drink, they go, they crash, and the next day, la, 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 la. And what do? They eat, and they fellowship, and waiting, while the bride and the groom are being intimate. Can you imagine that? Having a wedding party while you're being intimate in your honeymoon? And then on the third day, the man will come out, and he will present the sheets. A virgin! La, 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 la. Boom, party again. For 7 days. It was a joyful event. Who was in charge of all the activities? The best man. The best man was enjoying himself vicariously through the bridegroom. The best man will make sure there's enough drinks, there's enough food, there's enough get-together. And the best man was not getting married to the bride, but he vicariously, in other words, that means living through others. He says, the best man, he says, hey, listen, I'm the best man. Jesus is the bridegroom. Israel is a church. I introduce the bridegroom to Israel. I'm the best man. I'm happy. The wedding is done. It's over. Look at what he says. Verse 29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is what? It's done. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, that's the distinctiveness of Jesus. That he must stand. You and I, as Christians, we still have this fleshly character. We all have it. Why do you feel envious about other people? Because they have what you may want. They have the plasma TV, and you still have the big one, bulky one, and you still have to move to click your little channels, while others just sit there and just click. They got their cars. They got the armor all. They go every week to the car wash. They don't go to Walmart. You never see them there. They shop someplace else. And they seem like they're always having fun and excitement. And we get envious. But there's divisions because Paul says some of us are still carnal. We're covet people. It is time for us to be to apply this scripture that he must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus is everything, we're nothing. We extol, we exalt Jesus, but let's put it in a different spectrum of our life. Why do you always have to be first in the elevator? Why do you want to get in line at Albertsons first? Why do you want to park close to the market when you know and I know that God knows that everybody knows that you need a little bit of walking? Park away. Don't park. Don't fight. Give him. Let him go first. Consider others. We learned that from Philippians. He says, do not consider your importance, but consider others better than yourself. Esteem others better than yourself. Don't think about your own interests. But you say, but Pancho, that's not living in the real world. Precisely. We're living in a wonderful time today where your Christianity, your virtues, your attitude, your comportment, your behavior, your countenance, everything counts today. People, employers are looking for people with those kind of virtues. They don't have the resources because they have people that are doing drugs, people that are coming with problems, people that are drinking on the job, people they steal on the job, people that are not committed to the job, and they have no responsibility. That's why America, corporate America, is hiring more senior citizens than kids today, because senior citizens are committed and faithful and they need the money to buy their drugs that they need and medications. You and I live in some wonderful time today. If any of you work in the medical profession or you deal with the public, you are dealing in a vital place where you can share the love of Jesus Christ, because people expect for you to be rude. And when you show common, decent, human courtesy to people, they look to you. Today, part of my bad day, I said, Lord, please provide a Christian doctor. Provide a Christian technician. Oh, we met this lady. Her name is Kay. Kay came in. I don't want to share with you, because, you know, just, but Kay came in. Hello. How are you? Don't worry, dear. And are you the husband? Oh, you must be. Because she's looking at you. She's making all these comments. And then she walked away. I whispered to Millie, she's one of us. I know it. I know it. And he says, yeah, I know. She came back again, and the touch. It's okay, dear. It's all right. Dad, it's okay. Call me dad. For a minute, I thought, does she think that I'm her dad? Maybe she's not one of us. No, she knew we had 5 children because we wrote it there. Says, dad, everything's okay. At the end, when we were leaving, we asked her, Kay, are you a Christian? She said, with all my heart and soul, I'm a child of God. Oh, Lord. She hugged Millie. She hugged me. I was one of those guys, oh, I don't do the hugs. I hugged her, and I said, God bless you. You don't understand the depth of the impact you're ministering to us right now. People are hurting. I'm not telling you to be religious. I'm telling you, put on your light. Put on Jesus Christ. Don't put that, what would Jesus do? You know what needs to be done. What would Jesus do? You know what he would do. Decency, courtesy, being respectful. Be attentive, be thoughtful of others. Treat others as you would like them to treat you. That's the golden rule. How would you like to be treated? Then treat others the same way, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're immigrant, or whether they're Asians, can't even speak English, or whether they work, you go to Jack in the Box and you don't speak Spanish. So what? Put your Christianity, put your lights on. And I tell you what, you will not have a problem because you have a purpose. People that have purpose, they live a very fulfilled life. John was not worried about rivalry. He was not concerned about who's best. He was not concerned that his ministry is getting greater. John said, hey, listen, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. Now, look at the credentials of Jesus. He who comes from above is above all. So Jesus from above. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the what? Earth. John's from the earth. All of you here are from the earth. You have nothing to tell me that you, I cannot tell you. The words of God are heavenly. Even Jesus said, my words are spirit, and my spirit gives life, the word of God. And so he says, he who receives, forgive me, verse 32, and what he, Jesus, has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. You cannot certify that Jesus is true until the truth comes upon you and the truth sets you free. When you realize that you received God and you realize the sensation, the feeling, the immensity of God's changing power, you know that God has certified you that God is true. But you have to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he says in verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, meaning Jesus. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Bible says that you and I have been given a measure of the Spirit of God. For the right time, in increments, for we are changed from glory to what? Glory. So that means that we have an increment. You may have the faith to do something that I don't have faith yet, because you have a different measurement of faith. And I have a certain one. You have different certain increments of faith. But Jesus is unlimited. Why? Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author. He has no measurement. Jesus never said, oh, I come from heaven and I have this much faith. Jesus said, I have faith to move mountains. So John says, his testimony is true. His faith is without measure. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son, and the Father has given what? All things into his hand. John says, I ain't got nothing. I'm not from above. I have an increment of faith. I'm a human being. Whereas Jesus, he comes from heaven. He's seen and heard things from heaven, and he testifies the things that he sees and the things that he heard from the Father. Jesus said, no one has seen the Father at any time except the Son of God, and to whom the Son is willing to provide it and testify it. The Bible says that the Spirit testifies, because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. And thus, we know the testification is true. Now here's 36. Here's the wrath. He who believes in the Son has what? Everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not what? See life, but the wrath of God abides in him. What is the wrath of God? The emotional response to perceive wrong and injustice often is translated in anger, indignation, vexation, and irritation. It is the emotional response. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth with unrighteousness. The wrath of God is coming, the ultimate judgment upon mankind. However, those who refuse to believe in the testimony of Jesus, it says that the wrath of God, it's already in that person. What does that mean? The wrath of God, it means the absence of God, the judgment of God. So no matter what you do, what you say, what you plan, what you make, what you receive, what you inherit, popularity, credentials, money, richness, fame, whatever you have, without Jesus Christ, the wrath of God will follow you to your death. But the Bible says that he who believes in his testimony shall experience everlasting life.
Well, as I already mentioned earlier, that leadership is a critical thing in the church. We must have leaders that will prepare the way for the Lord. We need leaders who will help us identify Christ when he comes in our midst. And we definitely need leaders that do exactly what John the Baptist did. He became lesser so that Christ could be greater. A great study today by Pastor Pancho in John chapter 3, and there's still much more to learn, which we'll explore further on our next program of On the Level. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearcmontebello.com. That's thearcmontebello.com. It's there also. You can learn more about getting our ARC app, the free mobile app that we have available, by simply going to our website at thearcmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the ARC Montebello in California.